Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, with occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by Lee Newcomb, Rick Garcia, and Charles Lipson of the University of Chicago. Our program tonight coming to you from our new home base at the Sirius XM Studios on Chicago's Great West Side, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you have an email comment you'd like to offer, it's btb@museum.tv. btb@museum.tv. A little bit later in the broadcast, in hour number two, we're going to be talking about President Obama's trip to Europe. We're going to be talking about the indictment of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and what that means to the likelihood of reform, perhaps ever, coming to Illinois, one of the real black marks in the American political scene at the moment, given the conduct of our former governor. And that'll be topic number two in hour number two of our broadcast this evening. But in the first hour, we're going to have a debate. We're going to have a debate about one of the most hotly contested issues, contentious issues, on the political agenda at this moment. It was once again thrust to the front pages when last week the Supreme Court of Iowa voted unanimously to allow gay marriage in the heartland, gay marriage in Iowa. It becomes the third state that allows same-sex marriage, following Connecticut and Massachusetts of several years ago. The Vermont House of Representatives and Senate have also voted for gay marriage, there will be a possibility – actually, the Senate will vote tomorrow. And although the governor there has said he will veto it, they may have a veto-proof override ready to go. And so tonight we begin by having a debate on two different sides on the issue of gay marriage. First of all, we have Rick Garcia joins us. Rick Garcia is the director of Equality Illinois. That is the gay rights organization in the state of Illinois charged with moving forwards gay rights-related issues. And Rick, let me ask you basically now, and speak about this personally more than as a professional gay activist. Why do you think that same-sex marriages should be allowed in this country?
Well, I think aside from being a gay activist, I think that same-sex marriages should be allowed because it is the fair and right thing to do. People join together, they raise families, they want to be productive members of their community, and we have gay couples all over this country who've lived together for a long time, and they don't have some of really basic protections that their heterosexual counterparts do. So, you know, I know that a lot of people have a little problem with the word marriage, but if two people are living together and raising a family and are productive neighbors and productive members of their society, why shouldn't they have their relationship protected?
Joining us also is Lee Newcomb. He is an elected official from Central Illinois, McLean County. Lee, nice to have you back with us.
Thank you, Bruce.
Why do you oppose same-sex marriage?
I believe marriage between a man and a woman is an institution that is centuries old, is an institution that has served our entire culture and worldwide cultures very well, and it is an institution between a man and a woman that is worth preserving as it is. There is no compelling reason to legalize same-sex marriage. I understand Rick's reasoning that two people who love each other and are committed to each other wish to have their relationship in some way institutionalized, but that emotional reason is not a reason to change an entire culture.
And in your particular view, it isn't just gay marriage or same-sex marriage that you oppose. You oppose same-sex civil unions as well?
I would, yes, because it gives that union the imprompter of actual marriage. There's nothing different except possibly the word that you put on it. But it is the same sociological and cultural change that is happening.
Rick, take us through, if you will, the evolution of thought within the leadership of the gay rights community over the debate of the word marriage. I mean, why is the marriage word so important if the equal if the providing of equal benefits can be attained with civil unions?
Well, I think it's a very good question, Bruce. And I think that there are a lot of people who say as long as your relationship is protected, as long as your basic rights are protected, who cares what it's called, you know? And you know, here in Illinois, we're pushing a civil union bill. I mean, that's what we're working on because we know that that has a better chance of getting passed than an equal marriage bill. But I think why some people really push for marriage is that we should have one set of rules for everybody and one yardstick. And separate is not equal. And why set up separate institutions, for that group of people over there? Well, you know, let's just have one set of rules for everybody. And so I think that many gay activists or folks think, wait a minute. If marriage is good for Sally and John, why isn't marriage good for Sally and Cynthia?
In this particular case, is this an issue, Rick, again, if you could be very candid with us, is this an issue where the grassroots gay community maybe pushed the leadership further and faster than maybe they had expected they would be pushed?
Oh, Bruce, I'm going to be brutally honest here. If anybody had said to me 15 years ago that I would be talking about same-sex marriage, I would have said, no, you're wrong. And at that point in time, I thought, well, why are people talking about this? I mean, you know, at that point in time, we lived in a state where discrimination in housing and employment against gay people was legal. And that should be at the top of our agenda. What's all this marriage business? And then what we heard and what we found is real live people, not activists, people from one end of the state to the other, you know, in Albion, Illinois, and all the way up in Zion, Illinois, you have a couple living together, and they say, well, why aren't we being protected? And here's the horror story of our lives, because we weren't married. We didn't have the legal protections, and that really pushed so many of us.
Lee Newcomb, in your view, why has the gay marriage issue and the civil union issue, why has it moved apparently so fast through the political landscape? And do you agree that it has?
Oh, it absolutely has.
Why?
My point of view is obviously the point of view that is probably losing on this issue, I believe, sociologically over a period of time, and the reason is very simple. Because when you have a committed group of people who all the data of the homosexual community shows that the homosexual community has a far above average income, above average education, and these are people who can devote their lives to political activism, and there's a great deal of money. Therefore, you can create a great deal of political movement with money and time.
I want to follow up on that. We have to pause. Rick, we have to pause. We're going to do that. 1-800-723-8289 from coast to coast and border to border tonight, talking about gay marriage. It could be coming to your state. Maybe it's already come to your state. Let's get your reaction. 1-800-723-8289. Are you for it or against it? From coast to coast and border to border, taking America's political pulse tonight on the issue of gay marriage. A special request to anybody listening to us in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts this evening. We know we've got lots of listeners on WTAG all over the Bay State, and we'd like to get your assessment, since Massachusetts was the first state that legalized gay marriage in the United States. We'd like to get your reaction to whether or not it has changed life at all in Massachusetts. Get your reaction, and also, again, wherever you're listening from coast to coast, weigh in on the likelihood of gay marriage coming to your state. Let me go back to ask a question about the religious issue, because one of the things unique to this Iowa decision was that the decision really dealt with the objections, religious objections to gay marriage. And this is what the Iowa Supreme Court decision said. Whether expressly or impliedly, much of society rejects same-sex marriage due to sincere, deeply ingrained, even fundamental religious belief. As a result, civil marriage must be judged under constitutional standards of equal protection and not under religious doctrine or religious views of individuals. This approach does not disrespect or denigrate the religious views of many Iowans who may strongly believe in marriage as a dual-gender union, but consider as we must, only the constitutional rights of all people as expressed by the promise of equal protection for all. We are not permitted to do less and would damage our Constitution immeasurably by trying to do so, end of quote. Now, looking at just that slice of the opinion, Lee Newcomb, isn't that the case that could be made in 47 other states?
Well, if you take that reasoning to its natural extension, you could use that reasoning to approve of just about anything. The Iowa Supreme Court clearly took an activist political position where they violated what many of us believe, and there is significant legal belief that the Constitution of the United States stands for. The Equal Protection Clause does not allow a court to walk in and change what the legislatures of the 50 states have done. The Equal Protection Clause does not allow a bigamist to come in and demand that the bigamist should be able to have three or four wives because he deserves equal protection. The Equal Protection Clause does not allow a brother and sister to come in and demand that they can be married because they have equal protection under the laws. The Equal Protection Clause does not allow a man to walk in and say he can marry his dog because he has equal protection under the laws.
Let's let Rick Garcia respond. Rick?
You know, here's the thing. I mean, that is just so offensive. This is not about people wanting to marry their dog. It's not about polygamy or bigamy. What it is about is one set of rules for everybody. And it is if we have couples who decide to live their lives together and be productive members of their community, why shouldn't they have the same protections as their heterosexual counterpart? That is something I don't quite understand.
Rick, maybe I can help. Maybe you can help me understand your point of view. If a bigamist comes in and wants to have two wives, why should he not be entitled to that?
Well, you know what? I think.
And by the way, is that an unreasonable question? First,
I don't. You know what? I don't think it's an unreasonable question.
Okay, then why not?
Well, I think that is a reasonable question, in that people may find themselves in different circumstances. We do not, we're not looking at an institution, a long institution of bigamy. Well, frankly, we are. It's like mixing apples and oranges.
Rick, I don't think it's mixing apples and oranges at all, and I think you're evading the question for very apparent reasons. Rick, there are thousands of people going back hundreds of years who believe, or maybe millions of people, who believe in having multiple spouses. It's primarily men that want multiple wives. That is practice in parts of the country today and in parts of the world.
Right.
Now, if you want to accept marriage, same-sex marriage, I cannot think of any logical reason why those people should not have the right to multiple marriages. What's the difference? Why do you dismiss that instead of answering the question?
Well, you know what? I certainly don't support that. I just don't think that is healthy for society. I think when we look at those folks, the fundamentalist Church of the Latter-day Saints is a prime example.
So do you believe in denying them?
Hang on. I'll tell you why I deny them. Because what we find in these polygamist cultures is not adults joining together in positive mutual relationships. What we find oftentimes are men who have power over women, and many of those women are underage. That's what we're talking about.
Let me just interrupt, Carole. We have lots of callers on the line. As you can imagine, this is a very hot-button issue. Let's hit one of those buttons. Let's go to Susan, listening to us on our flagship station, WLS in Chicago. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi. Well, when the Illinois Democrat Party establishes same-sex marriage, makes it legal, will the next focus be on education? Will kindergarten and primary school children be required to read books, storybooks, with Sally having two mommies or two daddies?
Rick, can you respond to that? Because the issue of what impact this would have, or same-sex marriage would have in the schools, was used to some success in the recent Prop 8 battle in California, was it not?
Right, exactly. That was one of the most effective distortions that the opponents of equal marriage used.
Why was it a distortion? It was the truth.
Because it's not true. I mean, just because we allow and recognize same-sex marriages does not mean that we're going to teach our children about homosexuality.
Well, that is an agenda in schools across the country, is it not?
I'm sorry?
Is not that an objective of the gay community throughout the country to get education and education at the elementary level to teach that homosexuality is a normal, positive way to live? Isn't that something that you want to accomplish?
Well, I think what the gay community wants to accomplish is to stop the lies and the myths and stereotypes that our opponents promote and put forth about our lives.
Well, now, you just said about polygamist marriage exactly the same arguments that I would use about gay marriage. You use the exact same arguments, and you think it's okay for you to use those arguments about other people who have a different way of living than you have to live. So why do you think it's lies for me and not lies for you?
Well, let me tell you this. What I base my position on polygamy is what we've seen and what we know.
Well, the same thing can be true of homosexual marriage.
Let's respond one at a time. That oftentimes, or most times, this is not about mutual adult relationships. It is about the abuse of young women. That's what polygamy is about.
Well, if we look at the studies about homosexual marriage, the studies on homosexual marriage, not in terms of abuse, but in terms of the commitment and longevity of commitment, are very similar to the kind of things that you said. So since you believe that Rick, since you said that studies about that show that we shouldn't okay that, then I could argue that studies about homosexual marriage would show nearly the same thing.
Well, let me ask this question. And again, if we have anyone listening in the state of or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, I'd love to hear from you, 1-800-723-8289. But Rick, since marriage has been legal in Massachusetts, and obviously to a shorter term in Connecticut, and for a short period in the state of California, what do we know about the gay marriages that have already taken place? Have there been many divorces? I know in the state of or in Massachusetts, I believe it was the couple that really that filed the case upon which the Supreme Court ruled. They ended up getting divorced, did they not?
They did. Yes, they did.
And how many other divorces have there been? What do we know about gay marriage right at this moment in time?
Mm-hmm. This is what we know, is that we don't know a lot because it's only been a few years since we've had same-sex marriages, and so we don't know. But what we do know is that some states, for instance, Vermont, which had civil union in that state, that the rate of dissolution of those civil unions among same-sex couples was a little bit lower than their heterosexual counterparts who were able to marry.
You know, we actually have some sociological studies that are much longer term for similar populations that I think can be used. Same-sex marriage and civil unions have been legal in Sweden and Denmark for many years. And the sociological data there shows that the divorce rate is up to three times higher. It also shows that the sociological study of sexual fidelity among those, quote, married, unquote, couples is vastly lower than in heterosexual married relationships. It shows that those couples, the actual percentage of the gay community that takes advantage of that is actually quite low, around 5%. So if you want to look at sociological data, we do have populations that we can show, and the sociological data overwhelmingly shows the negative influence of this.
15 seconds. We'll give you a 15-second response to this now, Rick, and then a little bit more later.
You know what? Here's what I think. I think that people really try to stretch some of these sociological studies.
Well,
the
you
bottom
just did.
Line is this. We're looking at real-life people with real-life lives, and they need to be treated fairly and equitably. And, you know, I would suggest that the dissolution of same-sex marriages will probably mirror their heterosexual counterparts.
We've got to pause. Rick, we've got to pause. We've got to pause. 1-800-723-8289, talking about gay marriage tonight on Beyond the Beltway. From Fresno, California to Tallahassee, Florida, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway on America's great radio stations, as well as Sirius and XM satellite radio. Nice to hear from you this evening as well. 1-800-723-8289. Back to discussion of gay marriage in America with more calls in just a moment. Rick Garcia joins us. He is the executive director of Equality Illinois, which is the principal gay rights organization in the state of Illinois. Also joining us this evening is Lee Newcomb. Lee Newcomb is an elected official in McLean County. Once upon a time, many years ago, he was an official with the Moral Majority, and our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289. Talking about this issue, we're obviously following up on the decision of the Iowa Supreme Court last week. Although 6 in 10 Americans think some form of legal recognition is appropriate for same-sex couples, only a third of Americans think those couples should be allowed to marry, according to a recent CBS News poll. Another 27% of Americans support gay civil unions, while 35% think there should be no legal recognition of same-sex relationships. Support for legalizing same-sex marriage has basically remained about the same over the past 2 years. In as far as age group is concerned, while 41% of Americans under 45 support legalizing gay marriage, only 18% of Americans over 65 agree. And women, 38%, are more likely than men, 27%, to support same-sex marriage. That's a margin of 11%. Insofar as political breakdown, Republicans, conservatives, and white evangelicals oppose any legal recognition of same-sex couples, while Democrats and those described as liberals are more likely to support same-sex marriage. No real surprise there. By the way, we should mention that in California, as well as in Iowa, it was Republican-appointed justices to those state courts that really led and wrote the majority opinions in each of these controversial decisions. And regionally, again, this I don't think is much of a surprise here, the Northeast is the most popular region where this seems to go well, 44%. Obviously, Massachusetts and Connecticut are included in that region. In the West, it's about 38%. Support the concept. Same-sex marriage is far less popular in the Midwest, where it's only about 30%, and of course, again, not unexpectedly in the South, where it's 25%. Rick, let me take a moment before we go back to more calls. Where are things in the state of Illinois, which is where you focus your attention? You alluded earlier that civil unions is the term that's being used here, not marriage.
Exactly. There is a equal marriage bill that was introduced last year, about 2007. But clearly, there's no support for that in the state of Illinois. I mean, that is very clear to all of us. And that is why we decided to use the term civil union as a stopgap measure to provide these people some protections. So, and the polling is here in Illinois is 38%, like in some other places. 38% of Illinoisans, registered voters, because we only poll registered voters, but 38% of Illinoisans support same-sex marriage. 48% do not.
Let's go to Kay in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening to us on WNOX. Welcome to Beyond the Beltway.
Hi. Good evening.
Hello.
Basically, my comment, I mean,
When you start looking at sociological studies, true, that is the primary way to gauge what we do as a society, how we think, how we live. But truthfully, reliant upon who is conducting the study, it's just like anything else. You can uphold any perspective with the right set of statistics. So I don't really pay much attention to that.
So, Kay, what you're saying is that divorce statistics, for instance, you wouldn't pay any attention to that?
Well, insofar as divorce, I think when we look at heterosexual marriage as a whole, and people like Britney Spears who have the legal right to go and marry for a couple of hours and toss it around like it's just, oh, just something that she can do, talk about taking advantage and not having any respect for the rights and privileges that you're given. I think that the heterosexual community has pretty much shown over the years and years and years that divorce is so easy. Marriage is being treated like a temporary situation.
Okay, that's not true in the majority of people. So why, Kay? You're very unfocused, Kay.
Okay, wait, guys. If you're talking the same time, I can't understand you.
Kay, you're very unfocused in what you're saying. You're going to Britney Spears. Well, Britney Spears is no more an example of the normal average person than Elton John is of the normal average person.
But Britney Spears has the ability to marry some stranger off the street and have all of the rights and protections of a married person that gay people who may have been together for years and years and years do not share.
That is correct.
And the other thing is, for instance, look at, you know, I say this and it sounds flip, but it is true. If Elizabeth Taylor can have 8 husbands, why can't I even have 1?
Because.
Tell me why.
I can tell you why.
Please.
Because we have recognized for millennia that marriage is an institution between a man and a woman, and it should remain so.
Well, that is not true.
Okay, why should that
be? That is absolutely not true.
Kay, go ahead. To you.
Okay, guys. One, I am a gay woman. I have been with my partner for 28 years. We have had our holy union, which is our degree of marriage within our church. We did go to Connecticut and have a legal civil union just at the outside chance that gay relationships, same-sex relationships, were federally mandated so that we would have legal protections. After 28 years, gentlemen, you have to admit, you build a life, you build a living, you have a home. We have support of our families, so we're very blessed and we're very fortunate. The marriage part, having the ceremony performed in our church, that's the religion part of it. And in order to make it fair for all, we have freedom of religion in this country. We cannot allow religion to be a part of this particular aspect.
Can I ask you a question, Gay? And this is the question that earlier Rick would not answer except with emotional arguments. What is the difference between you and a bigamist? Why should they not have the right to marriage?
What is the difference between you and a bigamist?
Well, there's a lot. I'm married to a woman, not multiple.
Okay, you're protected under the law.
But that, Kay, you're not, just as Rick would not, you're not answering my question.
And you're not answering our question. What is the difference between you and your wife and a bigamist?
Rick.
Tell me.
I am married to one person. She is married to one person.
And this woman is married to one person.
Yes,
I would be married to one person in the state of Illinois if it was allowed.
When you look at that is the...
Because, Kay.
That is the specific difference, Kay, in that I have a committed long-term relationship. We have made vows.
In Utah and around there that have committed long-term relationships with multiple wives. Why should they not have the right to that?
We're going to move on. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Jim in South Elgin on WLS. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good evening. A very good conversation, and I'm glad to hear people talking about it.
Thank you.
This really started to me. This is an example of judicial tyranny where the will of the people be damned. And it all started with those 4 judges in Massachusetts that just basically declared, they told the legislature, you have to legalize marriage. And I think the problem I have with this is, if it's put before a vote of their people and they say no, that should be the end of it. But because of the judicial tyranny we have in this country, the will of the people doesn't matter. And this is the problem I have.
Well, You're absolutely right, and it's like the California situation. The people vote statewide twice against it, and yet the gay rights community is going to come back again and again and again and again. It'll never go away. It's constant court challenges, constant new initiatives. This community, in this activist community that wants this, does not in any way, shape, or form respect democracy, nor will they.
Rick Garcia.
Let me suggest this to you. It isn't about activist judges. It isn't about the tyranny of our judicial system.
Why is that the only way you accomplish it then?
Well, it isn't the only way we accomplish it.
Oh.
The legislature in California twice passed it. It was vetoed by the governor. So one guy got to veto what the whole California legislature did.
The people of California voted twice.
All right. And let me ask you this question.
In Vermont, by the way, both houses have passed it.
New York, the House has passed it. They're waiting for the Senate to pass it. We have examples across the country. The problem is, let's just cut to the quick here. The problem is, from your point of view, isn't this tyrannical judiciary. The problem is state constitutions that put forth equal protection under the law. That's the problem for you all, and that's why you all are losing, because many places, many states have strong constitutions. So if you got a problem with this, don't be blaming judges who are doing their jobs.
Rick.
Blame the constitutions that say everyone should be treated fairly and equitably.
Rick, your argument is always about emotion, not about the law.
You know why it's about emotion? I'll tell you why it's about emotion. Because it is about our lives and our families. It's about us not being able to visit our partners in intensive care units. It's about us not being able to make funeral arrangements for our partners the way married couples do. So emotional, you know what? You bet. It is emotional because we're talking about our lives.
You don't.
We're not talking about an agenda that believes that some people should not be treated fairly and some people should not be treated equitably.
You believe that, Rick. You said earlier in the broadcast that you believe that. You made all of the same arguments you accuse me of making about bigamists.
Do not put words in my mouth. Do not put words in my mouth.
Okay, why shouldn't bigamists be allowed to have it?
Because that is not our system. That's not the way we do it here.
1-800-723-8029. I'm Bruce Dumont. Back shortly with your calls. From Austin, Texas to Sweetwater, Tennessee, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Let's head to Austin. Fred is listening to us on KLBJ. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I'm an old clown. I've been married for 34 years to a woman, whatever. And I'm listening to the guy who's on.
Well, it's not a woman or whatever. You were married to a woman. That's okay.
Are you not sure, Fred?
So I've got this guy who's on my side on this, who wants to allow any two people who will commit to each other, any two adult individuals who will commit to each other to have and to hold till death do us depart, to be afforded the same right to do it as any other two people, and to not bring what sex you are into that decision. But if you're two people, you can do it. And up comes this crap about, what about bigamists? That's not in the discussion. We're not asking, can they marry multiple people? Let's drop that from the discussion. Let's not bring it in. I'm really disappointed that you said, well, because I don't like it when bigamists happen, and I think they might marry children. That's, and both counts, not the argument we need to make sense here. What we need to make sense here is we want to allow two adult people to say, to have and to hold till death do us part. Why can't everybody do it? And what they said in Iowa in their court hearing was, we don't see either.
Fred, I'll tell you the reason that I use that as an example. The reason I use that as an example is marriage is a unique cultural institution that tons and tons and tons of millennia of just the way people live and studies and actual data on the way it works where it's been okayed all show us that marriage between a man and a woman is an extremely important thing to preserve culturally.
Fred, I'm not done. Okay,
the reason I bring in the example of a bigamist is because those are people who make the exact same passionate arguments about their lifestyle. And I am asking a simple, fair question. Why?
But Lee, it is an extreme element. It's taking.
I don't agree with you, Bruce. Why does Rick have the right and Fred have the right to their argument, but those people don't have the right to their argument? You are making the exact same emotional decision that you were accusing me of making.
Let me speak to your point about marriage. Are you proud of the success ratio of marriage? Is marriage such a great institution that needs to be held up as this pillar of the way things should be done? If 50% of the institution fails,
let me tell you why.
Seriously,
okay,
answer that question.
Bruce, yes, 50, I will.
Over 50%
okay,
marriages
Bruce,
fail.
That
why?
Is a common argument for this, is to look at the bad state of marriage today in America.
Well,
but I do
why?
Not believe that is a good argument for same-sex marriage, and let me tell you why.
Let me ask because you this question. If you are married, does it raise the likelihood that the institution of heterosexual marriage is going to be impaired in any way if there is homosexual marriage?
Actually, the data from Norway and Sweden says that is absolutely what happens, is that the institution of heterosexual marriage is significantly damaged by passing same-sex marriage.
And how does that
because
happen?
Because it decreases. Oh,
how does that happen?
Oh, you know what? What is the data?
Rick,
show me right here and
Rick,
right now.
Well, I
what
don't
is
have
it?
With me. Rick, let me take, I can
pull out data from my nose.
Let me take this to another level, Rick, and let me tell you something. I have a number of very significant people in my life who are gay.
Mm-hmm. Best friends.
People who I love and respect. Mm-hmm. People who, in one sense, I really hate this debate because I don't want anything to come between me and them in terms of respect and love and so forth. To talk about this on a level that is not this sort of nasty, I'm going to get you type of attitude that you have about it. Whenever you and I have discussed this, it comes down to this attitude of nastiness and I'm going to get you. It isn't that for me, Rick. It isn't that for me at all. I am not uncalm, Rick.
I am not out to get you.
When I'm talking about people who I love and respect,
there is no love without justice. How can you love and respect people that you don't believe that they should be treated fairly and equitably under the law?
You are treated fairly and equitably. You have all of the rights of any other American.
What planet do you live on?
I live in the United States of America. And in this country and in every civilized country of the world,
what about visitation rights?
I absolutely wish there were a way that legally visitation rights could be allowed.
But you don't believe in civil unions?
No, I don't.
That's the legal way to do it.
Well, there are other legal mechanisms.
What are they?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. I mean, there's powers of attorney. There's. You know,
let me tell you a story about powers of attorney. The late state representative Larry McKeon and his partner of 30 something years had powers of attorney. His partner ended up in an intensive care unit at Ravenswood Hospital, and the medical staff there would not let Larry come in to be with his partner in his last hours because he wasn't, quote, family. He had power of attorney,
Rick,
and they still wouldn't recognize it.
Rick, you and I agree that something ought to be done there, okay? Now let's get back to the issue of marriage and whether or not that should be legally allowed, and I believe overwhelmingly the reasons point to it should not be.
Whether we call it marriage, whether we call it civil unions, it is a hot-button issue. We're going to continue this discussion in the next hour. We're also going to expand the discussion because, as I said at the beginning of the program, there are other issues that we are dealing with, including President Obama's trip to Europe, as well as his bailout of the General Motors, or firing the president of General Motors, and also the indictment of the Illinois governor, Rod Blagojevich. All those stories are coming up, plus more calls on this topic. And we'll have an added guest, Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, coming up after the network news. I'm Bruce Dumont from Coast to Coast and Border to Border. This is Beyond the Beltway. live from Chicago. This is Bruce Dumont. We continue with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway tonight, featuring commentary by conservative Lee Newcomb, progressive Rick Garcia, and Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Our phone lines remain open at 1-800-723-8289. Coming to you from the SiriusXM studios on Chicago's Great West Side, we have a hot discussion going on. I understand a little bit earlier in the program that Rick's microphone sounded a little bizarre, so if the first segment or two sounded a little bit eerie, we understand we worked out some of the bugs, the microphone bugs. Charles Lipson, you have been listening to this debate in the director's studio, and we welcome you to the discussion.
Thank
We're going
you.
To be talking about some
Thank
other
you.
Issues as this hour unfolds. But again, I want to ask you from a political science perspective, and you play that role at the University of Chicago.
Play that role, Bruce. I'm actually a political scientist.
Well, you play one and you get money for it.
I see. Okay. I play one on radio.
I didn't say you're an acting. You're not an acting. You're a real thing. But my question to you is, where in your view, given everything that's happened, and I think I come back to the speed with which this has happened as well, look down the road 5 years, 10 years, where is this issue going and where is it likely to be resolved?
Well, let me give you my sense of where it stands now and how I think it's been changing. And I think both guests agree that it's changed quite rapidly.
Yes.
And my sense is that roughly a third of the people, maybe a little more, support same-sex marriage right now. An additional third of the people support a civil union. So you get slightly over 50%, somewhere like that. And then a third of the people are opposed to both. So that's where things stand. They were moving more in terms of support for gay marriage until about 2 years ago, and then they flattened out, is my reading of those polls. But there is quite substantial support for a lot of the issues that Rick was talking about, visiting and adoption, which didn't come up but could have. A lot of those, there's pretty strong now public support for having those legal rights. That's not uniform across the country. If you look at maps of some states like California, it's a red and blue map state, all except for the area around Lake Tahoe. And all of the support for gay marriage is right along the wealthier coastal counties. And if you go inland, there's not much support. It looks that way in the country. My sense is that the biggest thing that's happening now is the courts are forcing this issue. And when I say forcing the issue, what I mean is, and I'd be interested in both Lee and Rick's view on this, I think that if it comes to constitutional amendments or public votes on whether to have a constitutional amendment in most states setting marriage is just between a man and a woman. If that comes up now, states will generally vote for that limitation. So the strategy that the Illinois gay movement has, which is to push for, as far as they're concerned, the most that they think they can get, which is civil unions, they will probably forestall constitutional amendments, those kinds of issues coming up. If states like Iowa push other states to go ahead and have those votes, there's a real chance that it will set back the movement for that gays have been pushing for to get same-sex marriages legalized. That's my sense, that there's a trend, but that if it's taken too early, it will, in effect, seize up.
Rick, what's your assessment of that?
You know, I think that's pretty accurate, and that where we've seen movement in favor of same-sex marriage, there have been constitutional bans in most states. And I completely agree that if you put this issue before the electorate, they will absolutely vote for a constitutional ban in our state. I mean, I make, you know, there's no promise about
it. And this is a blue state.
And this is a blue state. But I have to, and I think analogies are bad, and I don't like to use this analogy, but I think it kind of works. As recently as 1972, 68% of Americans, according to a Gallup poll, opposed interracial marriage. So in 1972, if we had the question to the electorate, should people of different races be able to marry, they probably, most assuredly, would have voted no.
Now, and what do you learn from that? But what do you learn from that?
Well, I think what we learned from that, and this is what I always say, just because a majority of people believe something is fair, right, and just doesn't mean it is. And just because they vote for it, because, you know, not too long ago and not too far away, women didn't have the right to vote. Our schools were segregated, and we did that in the name of Christian values and religion, because that's what God ordained.
Rick, let me
those arguments are patently ridiculous. We do not – equating gay marriage with racism and misogynistic types of attitudes is patently ridiculous. But it is the only arguments
because we
that
know,
you have,
we know.
Which is
no,
why
it is not the only
them.
Arguments we have.
But they
the
were
argument
popular
we
issues,
have,
were they not? I
yes,
mean, his point is, were
they
not popular
were.
Issues?
Slavery,
and if
slavery
you put some of those
was,
to a vote now, they might
slavery
not
was
do well.
In fact accepted at one time, Bruce. But that doesn't mean that today we would accept slavery. And they are different issues.
Well, in 1972, a large majority of Americans believed that interracial couples should not be able to marry. That's not too far away.
You know, I don't – I would have to look at that. I don't
yeah,
accept
well,
that,
look at it.
New I don't York accept
Times,
that that would have
August
been –
It is actually
I don't accept,
true that there – it is actually true that there was pretty widespread opposition to interracial marriage. It was certainly illegal in a lot of states. Mm-hmm. The question that I was really posing to you is it's no longer opposed by people. Nobody opposes, except really open racists, oppose interracial marriage. So there was a
correct
massive change in people's attitude. My sense is that if that was an issue that had been raised, been forced by the courts at an early date, you might have had constitutional objections at the state level. The only way to overturn that would have been a federal constitution. I mean, you know, a federal court decision. So what I was asking you, in effect, is we've moved to a situation where this is readily accepted from a situation where it wasn't. It moved through a kind of political and ideational change rather than kind of forcing it through the courts. But I'm just pushing you a little bit on whether you think – I know you're happy about these court decisions, but there must be a little part of you that's saying, hey, this may be going too fast, too far.
Well, I will tell you this is if anybody calls my office or anybody approaches me and says we want to do a case here in the state of Illinois, I dissuade them from that. We're publicly on the record of dissuading couples who have been married in other states to bring a suit in the state of Illinois because we don't think that's
Why?
The best strategy.
Well,
it's not the best strategy.
You don't believe they should have the same rights as other people?
They absolutely have the same rights. But here is the thing. Folks like you do not like these judicial activists. So guess what? We're going to do it legislatively so our elected officials can make those decisions for us. Then you're going to have to find another excuse to cover up your dislike and distaste of gay and lesbian people and their rights.
We've got to go
1-800-723-8289.
But it was true.
It was absolutely false.
From Brookings, South Dakota to Spokane, Washington, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. 1-800-723-8289 is the telephone number. We've got lots of callers on the line. Let's go to Nicholas listening to us in Chicago on WLS.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I was going back to that sociological argument about a half an hour ago, and I don't think you should judge the success of the institution by the people that make it. And I was comparing military marriages. They have an awful time at it, apparently. I'm neither gay nor in the military, but I read a magazine when I was out there working. And
as do law enforcement people, by the way.
Yeah, right. So we shouldn't tell those soldiers, despite how dislocated their lives are, that they shouldn't be allowed to marry. That would be the same argument. And if you wanted to look for a hypothesis there, you might look at the dislocation of the military from a a normal, peaceful existence to those of the gays, maybe, who are dislocated because they're not getting their full measure of civil rights. If you look at the women's movement, at least as the way I experienced it, starting in the late 60s, there were a lot of outrageous arguments put forth, but basically each one of those was weighed and litigated until they found out what a civil right was and what women's rights should be supported, and they should do the same thing on this civil unions issue, if you are asking my opinion.
Okay, well, we are asking your opinion, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Mike in Spokane, Washington, listening to us on KXLY. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. On this Palm Sunday, I'd like to ask Rick a couple questions here. Rick, could you comment on the hatred of some gay groups which seem to be against Catholics and Mormons in California who oppose the gay marriage proposition? And number two, do you
let's
think...
let's let them respond to that one first. That's
okay.
Quite a loaded question, but go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I'm a practicing Roman Catholic, and I understand.
And you're a practicing homosexual.
And I'm a practicing homosexual. No, I think I'm not practicing that anymore. I've got that down
pat. You've
got
to practice until you get it right.
I've
got
to practice it pat. What I think is that indeed, and I understand why some people who were upset with the amount of money that the Roman Catholic – well, the Knights of Columbus, some Catholics and the Mormon Church put into stopping them from having their families protected and recognized. I understand their anger, but there is absolutely no place for any animosity or bigotry toward religious. What I will say
– But that's happening in a big way.
No, stop it. Because you have people who are going out and attacking their neighbors who are gay or lesbian, and then they turn around when their neighbors express justified anger and disgust. They say, look how they're beating us up. I do not know of any Catholic church or Mormon temple that has been vandalized by marauding gay people. I don't know of nuns who are coming out of their convents who are beaten over the head with bats by gay people. But I do know.
You do know, however, that the donor lists on the political reports have been gone through by the gay activist community. And the donors and the business people who donated money to protect marriage in California are being singled out and targeted for political activism. And it is one of the most insidious political things that I believe has ever happened in this country. Because
where have you been? That's politics. You always look at your opponent's political donation records.
You do
who's
not,
given them money?
You do not look up your opponent's givers and go after them and their families at their homes. And that is happening in California and has been happening by homosexual activist groups. Now, Rick, you can't deny that's not happening because it's been well covered in the media. It is happening, and it really harkens back to some very dark times in world history when people went after
people
really personally at their homes.
I cannot believe how you can sit here with a straight face and blatantly distort what is happening blatantly lie.
No, I'm not lying. That is happening in California.
Quick question, Rick?
Mike, second question to you.
Okay. Do you think, Rick, that same-sex couples should adopt children? You know, I was adopted with a mom and dad, and I was spoiled rotten, but they had that maternal love there, and studies have shown that this same-sex causes confusion, Rick.
Well, same-sex couples do adopt and have adopted for a long time, and we have same-sex couples who are raising children. I think children need to be in loving homes with parents who take care of them. That's the bottom line, and what the gender of those parents are, I don't think makes that much of a difference.
Rick, I want to go back to a question I asked a little bit earlier, and that is the issue of the speed with which this has happened, and also how widespread is the demand and the push for marriage within the gay community? I mean, is it 5%? Is it 10%? Is it 20%? And is what is the dichotomy between the grassroots gay community and the professional gay community, like yourself? I mean, in the political aspect of it, how much
we must know? How
many
also
people
from Massachusetts is one of the states where it became illegal?
How many gay people really want to get married?
Well, you know, let's do a little bit of history quickly about how this issue came up very fast. I've been a gay activist since the early 80s, and this issue we never talked about ever talked about. And
you have been on this program saying that you didn't think it was ever going to happen.
Well, I didn't.
In recent years.
Ten years ago, I didn't think we'd even be having these discussions. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue, in the middle 90s, the Moral Majority and the Christian Coalition and other folks like that all of a sudden start carrying on about the threat of homosexual marriage. An activist and I would look and say, what in the hell are they talking about? It's no one's agenda. We're not working on it. We're not doing anything about it. But they used it as a political issue. And why? Because at that point in time, they recognized that the vast majority of Americans did not support same-sex marriage, and they could use it as a political issue and a political tool.
Well, this
they
came, used this it. Issue came up. We were talking about this during the break, and I asked Lee, and if you don't mind, I'll ask him again on air, because Lee was pretty actively involved with the Christian Coalition at the time. And if I understood your answer, Lee, you were saying that that you didn't think that the Christian Coalition and allied groups had brought it up. You thought that they were responding, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, it goes back to the same thing I was saying a few minutes ago. Rick and I see things very differently. I'm not talking about disagreement, Rick. You see things as hot political issues. I don't. the move toward wholesale social acceptance of homosexuality as not a deviant but as a completely normal, acceptable lifestyle has been going on for many years. Homosexual groups wanted large-scale acceptance of the lifestyle many decades ago. So the fact that the issue has grown and grown in acceptance and grown in publicity over many years is not because any particular person targeted it or decided to poll or anything like that. It's just simply an issue that's gradually grown as all kinds of different issues have grown over the years.
I think we're in agreement on that.
There's no sinister thing.
No, it's an issue that's grown. I think that the Christian Coalition, especially – more majority a little bit, but they were political organizations and they were looking for political issues to get their candidates
Now we're coming
elected.
To the second point.
Yes.
But I think that Lee's point, that there's been a gradual shift in general public attitudes toward same-sex relationships is something that's been a slow and a big shift.
Right.
Now we come to the specific question of the issue of gay marriage where each side is in effect disclaiming that his own side was pushing that issue. Am I right?
It's an issue that has grown over time, as many issues have. I mean, who would have guessed? And by the way, don't distort what I'm saying, that I'm talking about gays when I talk about different things. The animal rights issues. Who would have said 30 years ago that we would have animal rights activists like we have today? Nobody would have thought of animals that way. Who would have thought all kinds of different issues would have come up?
Anti-smoking.
Good example.
Excellent example. Drunk driving.
There are all kinds of issues.
You can't wear fur.
There are all kinds of issues that were not issues 30 years ago, and it isn't because of some sinister group. It's just the issue grew naturally, Rick,
right.
So you don't need to find
I
think part of the reasons why this movement was growing was because many people looked at the issue, when you look at it as a fairness issue. Forget the religious part of it. Look at it as a fairness issue and say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, there's two people. They're in love. They're not bothering me. It's fair. They want to go. They want to have death rights. They want to have visitation rights. So that was part of a growing fairness, which was taking on a growing position.
Mm-hmm.
Then the political grenades started to throw. Mm-hmm. Then the Massachusetts Supreme Court rules. Mm-hmm. They use the M word. Mm-hmm. The M word is like, whoa, that's like hydrogen bomb going off. They, by their decision, they threw it back into the political arena. And then you had the religious right and others and religious communities responding to that. And then there's the call for the federal amendment. And then there's the call for all the amendments around the state to ban it because they didn't want to happen in their state what had happened in Massachusetts.
Nobody, and again, I go back to
because you've been a guest on this show probably for about 15 years, mm-hmm. Rick, and we asked about this early in the process, and you never thought that it was going to happen. And yet, let me just say, we did this broadcast from WRKO in Boston on the eve of the legalization of marriage in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We had the leaders, a pro and con mm-hmm. of that battle on this broadcast. And when the broadcast was over, I went over to the Cambridge Hall mm-hmm. and was there when the first marriages in Massachusetts were legal. Mm-hmm. And Rick and his longtime friend were there. Not your partner, but your longtime Mark Johnson.
Friend. Right.
You were there, and I think I want you to describe what was going on in your mind that moment, because I knew you knew that, that something special was going to happen, but I don't believe. I'll let you tell this, the other. I'm not going to tell you what. I'll let you say it yourself. But I want to get your reaction to that when we come back. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont. From Spartanburg, South Carolina to Cucamonga, California, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Lee Newcomb is here. He is an elected official in Central Illinois, McLean County, hails from Burbank, California. Also joining us this evening is Rick Garcia. He is the executive director of Equality Illinois. That's the leading gay rights organization in the state of Illinois. And Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago, professor of political science and the pride of Marks, Mississippi, also joins us this evening. Before we go back to calls, and we are loaded with calls, Rick, I want to go back to that night in Massachusetts not long ago when marriage became legal in the state of Massachusetts, or the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. You were there. I was there. Thousands of others were there. What was your reaction to what you witnessed that night? And did you, from a political standpoint, did you think that, that the country would be talking about marriage on a national level so quickly after that moment in history?
Well, I think up to that moment in history, we had begun really talking about it nationally. I would just jump back real quickly to 10 years before that. I never thought we would be having discussions about equal marriage rights. And I know there were many people in the gay community that when some of the political opponents of the community were using this issue, marriage, we have to protect it, we're all saying, what are they talking about? Because, you know, what is this about? And what was intriguing to me is I came to equal marriage rights kind of dragging my feet. And I will publicly say that because I thought there are other more important fish to fry. And then I realized that we really are talking about fairness and equality and everybody being treated fairly and equitably. And when Massachusetts went online and we knew that they were going to have the first same-sex marriages in the country, I went. My very good friend and I went to be part of it and to see it. And I was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed. And I intellectually had gotten to the point of fighting for equal marriage rights. But when I saw these people coming there, some of them with their children, who wanted to just be part of their communities and have their families protected and strengthened, I was deeply touched by it. Now,
everyone that marched up the stairs that night were met with a huge roar of appreciation.
Roar.
It was
unbelievable, unbelievable.
I want to go back to something that Lee said, Lee, because you said about 15-20 minutes ago. You said in the issues of some benefits and visitation rights that there's other ways to do that. I want to have you go through some of those ways as you see them, because it seems to me that when you talk to a lot of people who are not politically active in this area, when you talk about visitation rights and things of that nature, that's what gets some people to say, you know what, there should be some fairness here. This is not fair if there's been a couple that have been together for 38, 20 years or whatever they happen to be, and they happen to be in love. There's something really wrong about not being at one's deathbed for a partner. How do you deal with that, with the laws that are out there, as you see, interpret those laws?
Bruce, as I said at that time a few minutes ago, I'm not an attorney and I don't know those issues. I'm reacting merely as a human being. As a human being, and having, as I said at the time, several significant gay people in my life that I love and respect, I would like, of course, from a standpoint of humanity, to have people be able to have those kind of rights.
But if a civil union law allows that, then that would be a law you should support if if indeed you are.
I would carve out individual abilities of people to, however, whatever legal mechanism. I am not a lawyer, so I don't know how to do this. No. If there were a legal mechanism that allowed visitation and that type of things, I would absolutely be in favor of that. But when you take something that has the equivalency across a multiplicity of issues that gives the exact right of all of the rights of marriage, which is what
that's what I'm saying. I think the loaded the loaded word here is the M word for you, is it not?
I mean, it isn't the word marriage. It's also civil unions. It's anything that gives
it's also civil rights
legal,
legislation.
It's anything that gives the broad-based rights of marriage and all that entails. You know, my wife and I have a multiplicity of legal rights between each other that have to do with the institution of marriage. And no, I would not extend that to same-sex marriages. I believe it's wrong. I believe it's culturally wrong. It goes against the entire judicial history of Western civilization and virtually every world civilization.
Even though Supreme Courts now disagree with that, including the Iowa Supreme Court.
I forget the professor's name at Harvard. Studies have shown that there has never been a civilization in the history of the earth that accepted same-sex marriage that survived, ever.
But in the wake of all of that, which you describe as evidence, we have three Supreme Courts in various states basically seeing things differently. And if there is a trend, there may be a trend at least judicially. Like when I read the excerpt that I read from the Iowa Supreme Court, how could any Supreme Court not agree with this interpretation of the separation of religious belief from equal protection?
I think it's garbage, Bruce.
Well, you think it's garbage, but
it's absolute garbage. I mean, you read it. Just because the Supreme Court wrote it doesn't mean that it's good.
But,
I mean, they say you have to separate it legally, constitutionally from religion.
But
okay, fine. I do not believe that we ought to have any kind of a religious state, Bruce.
Let me ask you, can we cut to the quick here?
To use that as a way of hanging this argument of equal protection, which doesn't at all work legally on this, is silly.
Well,
it does work
legally according to the legal minds that determine what happens in the state of Iowa. Rick Garcia.
You know, let's just cut to the quick.
You like that phrase, don't you?
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Let's just cut to it, all right? The issue for people who oppose recognition of same-sex couples, marriage, or civil unions, it really is not about the lofty ideals and goals of upholding the sacrosanct, wonderful institution of marriage.
What's it about?
I'll tell you exactly what it's about, and you've demonstrated this very clearly. It is about not believing that gay and lesbian people should be treated fairly and equitably, that they are not equal to you. You and your wife have all of these things, but you can't have that.
But you believe that, Rick. You believe that a person in a loving, committed, bigamist relationship, you told us in this program Why would you deny them?
How you're different than a bigamist.
Because I am married.
What?
Because it's a.
And so how are you different than my partner who I've been with for 32 years? How are we different?
Because we're married in the institution of marriage between a man and a woman.
And you are denying that to me and my partner.
That is correct.
Well, you know what? That is really boorish and frankly piggy. You should be ashamed of yourself.
As you would deny it to bigamists, as you would deny it to a brother sister, as you would deny it to lots of people.
Oh, would you just stop this? And you know what else? And let's also cut to the quick, Bruce. Let's just get right back to this. Because this man over here also opposed civil rights legislation to protect gay and lesbian people from discrimination. And let me ask this. I want to know this. Do you believe that sexual orientation should be in hate crimes legislation? Oh, wait. I bet you don't even believe in hate crimes legislation. Am I right?
You love to distort things, Rick.
No, you're the one who distorts.
You're
the one who distorts. And I think I'm just calling it exactly what it is.
No, I don't think are, Rick. Rick.
Yes.
You're exactly right in that I would oppose adding sexual orientation to the law. And I oppose adding hate crimes.
So what do you think gay people should do? What do you think gay people should do or how they should be?
Do you ever allow a person to speak, Rick?
Not when they lie and not when they distort.
And the reason that I would oppose that is because a hate crime is something where you're attempting to attribute a motive to someone that you can't know. For example, if I murder a person to me, that is a crime that should be should have the death penalty. And I don't care whether the person is a homosexual or a heterosexual or a man or a woman or a bigamist or anybody else. The crime of murder is the crime of murder. I don't believe in hate crimes legislation, not because it has anything to do with homosexuality, but it's attempting to take a crime and really minimize it as far as I'm concerned.
Charles Lipson.
A crime is a crime.
I've been looking at a lot of the statistics in polling. And again, what I see is a tremendous kind of common ground in the middle. As the polling, as I said, for gay marriage is quite split. But and on and some topics like adoption rights for gays are split, although the majority, slight majority, favors adoption rights. But when you look at things like inheritance rights for gay and lesbian domestic partners, 75% of people are in favor of that. Social Security benefits, 2/3 of people are in favor of that. Health insurance benefits, 3/4 of people are in favor of that. Hospital visitation rights, which is an issue that came up here, 80%. So on a lot of the practical issues that deal with two
fairness,
adult,
fairness related issues.
Fairness among two voluntary adults, there's a tremendous amount of tolerance. The closer you get to the institution of bringing up children and the core marriage issues, the more you get people who have legitimate differences, or at least I would call them legitimate, where some people take Rick's viewpoint that there's a fundamental fairness issue, that there's an equality, equal rights under the law. And I take that as a serious and reasonable position. But I also take Lee's position as heartfelt and not inherently discriminatory, or at least not discriminatory in intent. What he is saying is, I understand certain values as being core values around built around the family, and I'm not trying to deny gay partners most of these benefits. I'm just saying that I want to preserve this one institution.
And what is the purpose of the institution?
We have to break. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont. Lots of calls, I promise. West of the way with calls when we come back. Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. Let's go back to calls. Let's go to Paul listening to us. He's driving on 294 out of Chicago. Go ahead, Paul. You're listening to us on WLS.
Good evening, Bruce. I'm actually on 57 now. I'm listening to this conversation here. And, you know, my view is that marriage has really two purposes. One is for the benefit of the spouses, and two is for the raising of children.
That's correct.
Number two is one strong reason why marriage can never be between a man and between two men. So, and regarding the first one, you know, the fairness issue, you know, my view is that, you know, really this man-on-man relationship is unfair to society. It's undermining marriage. It's criminal. It's criminal behavior. It's the crime against nature, and all you have to do is look at biology to see this. You know, and so I think
there is homosexuality in all forms of nature, sir. Where do you feel that it's a crime against nature?
Where's nature?
I'm sorry?
Where do you see?
Well, there's homosexuality in virtually every form of animal life, sir.
Where is this been documented?
Well, do you ever watch a PBS documentary?
No.
Okay. Well,
that does it.
It happens.
You know what? I think this is an interesting point, and that a lot of people have a belief that marriage is for the procreation of children and also supportive spouses. That's fine. So I would have no problems whatsoever if we modified our marriage laws in the state of Illinois and across the country to say that those who are not going to have children, have no desire to bear children, or unable to bear children, cannot marry. Because if having children and raising children is one of the cornerstones of marriage, then those who don't want children those who can't have children shouldn't have the benefit of marriage, and I would be willing to go along with that.
It is true that there are people who do not have children and don't want to have children are going to get married. However, the primary purpose of marriage has always been for the family, for the having and raising of children. And it should be preserved if for no other reason than that reason alone. Aside from the fact – I mean there are multiple reasons why same-sex marriage is bad culturally and societally, but that is the primary purpose of marriage and should remain so.
Let us go to Amy listening to us in Claremont, New Hampshire on WNTK. Nice to hear from New Hampshire tonight. Go ahead, Amy.
Good evening, gentlemen. Excuse me. I'm all for civil union. I have no problem with two people of the same sex getting the constitutional protection supported to them. What I do believe is that the gays that have tried to forward their what they want to do is to moralize something which they themselves know is not moral.
So they want to normalize their behavior.
Yes.
Let Rick respond to that. Nick, Rick, rather?
Well, you know what? I don't think we need to normalize our behavior. Our behavior is normal. And I think this is where some of us have fundamental disagreements. There are those who believe that homosexuality is immoral and that gay and lesbian people should not be accorded fair treatment under the law. And then there are those of us who believe that gay and lesbian people are part of the fabric of our society, are part of our families and culture, and they should be accorded fair treatment under the law.
But you want people to like you.
No. I don't care whether people like me or not. I don't care whether people accept homosexuality or not. There are many religious traditions that don't.
Well,
I mean, my own religious tradition, I'm a Roman Catholic, believes that homosexual activity is immoral. What I do want is to make sure that every gay and lesbian person in our society, in our state, in our country, is treated fairly and equitably, and we are accorded the same rights and responsibilities as everyone else. One set of rules for everybody.
Let's go to Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
I believe you have all of those protections.
Go ahead, Amy.
Civil unions will afford the same constitutional protections to every citizen.
Right.
But what the gays want with the word marriage is they want to moralize the something which they themselves know is not moral.
We should mention, by the way, that civil unions are also legal in New Hampshire.
Yes, they are, and I have no problem with that.
Amy, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you say you have no problem with that, do you believe that an employer should be forced to provide health insurance and other benefits to a same-sex partner? Should be compelled to do that?
You under the Constitution.
No, there's nothing, Amy, there's nothing in the Constitution about that.
Civil union.
Do you think they should, Lee?
Absolutely not.
Are affording you, you can go to the hospital, you can be with your same-sex partner, you can do whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own bedroom.
Amy, that's not what I asked you. I asked you a specific question because I think like many people, you're saying something.
What you want to do is with the word marriage,
is
to moralize something that you understand.
Let's move on. You're not going to change your mind, and she's not going to change yours. Let's go to
Chicago. It's not a changing mind. It was going to ask her a question.
Well, I know, but you made the point, and she clearly wasn't going to answer it. She clearly disagrees with the point of your question. Let's go to Wayne in Chicago on WLS. You got 30 seconds. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the
thing.
That's
okay, Bruce. Don't worry about a thing. Bruce, I'm going out with a beautiful, wonderful woman that I met 2 years ago. And what we did today, we went to a church service. We saw a string quartet. We went out for cake and coffee. And the only trouble is that she's not a genetic woman. And I'm in love with her head over heels. I wish I could get married with her tomorrow. Rick probably knows her.
Okay. Well, on that
God bless
note
you.
Of falling in love with a transsexual, we end our show for this evening. Our thanks to Rick Garcia of Equality Illinois, Lee Newcomb, who is the recorder of McLean County in Central Illinois. Well, Lee, thank you very much. And Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Charles will be back next week because we did not get to his subject because of the phone calls and the reaction. This obviously is an issue that has touched the hot buttons of people emotionally all over the United States. And again, It will be coming to a state near you if it already has not done so. Our thanks to Ben Stewart and Tom Veracruz for their assistance in the production of this program. Till next week, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.